Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was Kenny Atkinson after the game last night. And I can tell you, that doesn't just sound like a guy who won the game. When he did an in-game interview on ESPN, he was like, man, isn't this just a great game? It's not great. And he was saying the same kind of things in-game. And I thought that was kind of cool because it was a guy who, A, knew he had the best record in the NBA. So, you know, hey, we win, great. We don't win, hey, great. We're still, you know, but... He was saying the exact same thing in game before the outcome was determined.
And he was saying that, and his players were saying that before the game, and then they went out and played that way. Like, there was nothing tight about yesterday's game.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that at all at any point while you were watching the game?
No, I thought they were pretty loose, and they just went after it.
They looked like a really good team. What was it, J.J. Redick said that you've got to play perfect basketball to beat the Cavs? Didn't you just say that the other day? That you know, and so I didn't think last night's game was the perfect game, but man, it was a great game, right?
Oh, it was very competitive, yeah. And it was fun. You know, there wasn't much defense until they decided that there was going to be a little defense. I mean, the teams combined to score 84 points in the third quarter, for God's sake. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, but then there's only 46 in the fourth. That's isn't that wild?
Yeah, well, they decided to play a little defense.
Yeah.
And the Cavs decided, I think, before Oklahoma City did, and that's why I think they won the game. I think the defense in the fourth quarter was the key for the Cavaliers, personally.
It makes sense, Jeff. I mean, it totally makes sense.
But as I was sitting there, I just thought, okay, somebody, want to guard somebody here? Put a body on somebody? Let's do something here. And they finally did. And
you are like the defensive guru of the year.
No, I can't stand grinded out defensive basketball games if I can avoid them. You know what I like?
Yeah, there's some.
I like a little bit of defense.
Okay, that's somewhere between that and let's shoot a three every time down the floor.
Absolutely.
That's all I want. I'm not asking for a whole lot.
Absolutely. And last night, the Cavs put up 36 threes. That's a lot of threes. Oklahoma City put up 31. But, Cavs hit 42% of those three-pointers. And because main reason, I don't think Oklahoma City bothered to contest that many of them.
True.
But it was a real nice job by the Cavs to get that win last night, and I thought it was an impressive thing. Now, I don't know what and not that this game was circled on anybody's calendar because, you know, it's the Western Conference
team. About a week ago,
team.
I think it was. Two weeks it is.
Yeah, and then, you know, they play again coming up. Mm-hmm. But this team just has to get to the playoffs and then see what they can do. I mean, it's real clear that this is a dominant regular season team. They have a lot of weapons. They have a lot of ways they can beat you. And it's a great regular season team. We'll see if it can be a great playoff team. Why can't it be? I mean, it can be. We'll find out. But I think it's, unfortunately, you still have half the season to go.
Mm-hmm.
And
more than half.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
And I right now, the only thing circled on my calendar is playoffs. Let's go.
I thought you were going to say lunch.
It's always circled.
The only thing circled on my calendar is my next meal. I'm interested to hear your take on this because I think it's true. But when Kenny Atkinson talked after the game yesterday, he said, the players said, we don't win this game last year. I totally agree with that. I think every Cavs fan agrees with that. But sometimes you don't actually hear coaches come out and admit that. Although I guess you can when you're in a scenario when you've taken over for somebody else.
Yeah, the thing about it to me, Andy, is I thought J.B. Bickerstaff did a good job here, and I also thought their offense was terribly clunky. It just didn't operate the way I think an NBA offense should, especially when I think you have some real serious guys who are good at what they do, and they have some real serious offensive players, and they're good at what they do. And Evan Mobley is, you know, one of the key parts of this. Evan was outstanding last night. Kenny Atkinson, in cut number three, talked about Evan Mobley after the game last night. Here's what he had to say.
To do it in a big game like this and against an elite defensive team, we had to get Evan the ball. They're smaller. You know, Evan man, he put his stamp on this game. He's only touching what we all know. We keep saying this. He's only touching the surface, but more things to come from him.
Absolutely. And again, we talked about this yesterday. His numbers on the season, Andy, aren't outrageously different than they were in the past. But he looks like, eyeball test, he looks like a different and better player. More confident, yeah, more aggressive. Stronger.
Stronger is one thing that I think you can clearly see, but how much of it is between his ears? That's what I'm asking.
Well, it's a maturity growth.
Yeah, I've been in the league for a while.
Confidence.
I mean, I go back to when he first came to the Cavs. I'm like, and you and I both said this right away. And I heard Ken was saying that he felt like he had to defend him in his first couple seasons here. I don't think we ever had to defend him. I think people wanted to see a little bit more. But I think the two of us together, I kept going, he's young, man, he's young.
People don't
want to expect him to be a 5-year, 10-year veteran playing his first year. It just wasn't going
to
happen.
People do not want to give people time to develop.
Not at all.
Andy, he's still only 23 years old. If the Cavs are fortunate enough to be playing in the middle of June, he'll turn 24. He's only 23.
We live in a world where we have to get, someone texts you, you got to text them right back, or you got to call them right back.
Yeah, I started thinking when they about. Don't.
Yeah. You do get annoyed now when they don't text you back right away?
Yeah.
Should you, though? Think about that.
Only my
10
kids
years ago.
Only my kids when I'm, have to give them money.
Oh, just your kids? Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. Well, I can understand that. But think about that. Like, you would wait a day for someone to call you back. You're like, okay, well, I'll talk to you tomorrow. What? What do you mean tomorrow? We can't live in that world anymore. We're just so... Everything's 100 miles a minute.
Evan is scratching the surface, as Kenny said, of what he can do. And his first 3 years in the league were just fine. But now with an offensive-minded head coach and putting in a system in place that allows him to do even more as he grows, it's not just Kenny's system. And it's not just Donovan Mitchell backing off on his game. A lot of it's on Evan just maturing as a player and as a person. More confidence, physical, everything. And it's led to better play and numbers that are better, despite the fact that he's not playing any more minutes. He's being more productive when he's out on the floor, which is what it's all about.
I'm looking forward to them playing again. What, 16th? Is that the next time they play? Coming up in 7 days, something like that. I would love for the Cavs to beat them again there. Because then that gives them the rest of the season, whether they're healthy or not. That gives Oklahoma City the just that little bug in the back of their mind. They're like, hey, can we really beat this team? Can we really beat the Cavs? Because we wouldn't see them again until the NBA Finals. But again, that's ridiculous for me to bring that up right now. But I really, really, really hope they get that game down in Oklahoma City.
Well, the Cavs, you heard some chirping. They weren't happy that they weren't getting the national attention. They were on ESPN last night. So, Tim Breen was in town, loved him. Richard Jefferson, Doris Burke, they were calling the game. They did a nice job. And after the game, Kenny Atkinson talked about just the whole atmosphere and everything else involved in this one.
Great for the league. Great for the city of Cleveland, right? Like, that's important. Oklahoma City, too. Our small market, so it's great. I think the parity's great in this league. We all enjoy competition. But to see all that talent out there, these were the heavy hitters of the league, and the quality of the basketball was super high. Yeah, great win for the Cavs, win for the league.
He's right.
I agree with every bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you?
Absolutely, it was good for everybody. And again, you didn't see any ratings yet because I was looking this morning. I didn't see any kind of ratings on last night's game.
I paid no attention to the ratings. You're still into that. I don't care.
Well, I just think it gives you a gauge of level of importance outside of Northeast Ohio. We all know what it means to us here. I just wonder what it means to, and I don't know what if I should value it or not. But when you hear a game has amazing ratings and that people were engaged and want to know more about your team, I think that's exciting. I think that's why you play the game. You want people to watch. It's good for you. It's good for your business. It's good for your wallet. It's good for everybody else. People want to, they want to feel like they're a part of the team. These guys go out there every night, and we'll never have the same ability that they do to play the game at the same level, but we all share one thing in common. We all represent Cleveland. And when someone steps out on the floor and they play for Cleveland, we can grasp that. That's why we're fans. I don't see anything wrong with that.
One thing to keep an eye on here, and You know, you can only dwell on one win for so long. But one thing to keep an eye on here, to me, what happens in the Eastern Conference the rest of the way? And who might get hot and who might get it together? Remember, Milwaukee was terrible at the beginning of the season. And the Bucks have gotten it together a little bit. Not necessarily surging now, but they have a winning record. They're fifth in the Eastern Conference. Cavs have a 5.5 game lead. They're 8 ahead of the Knicks, who are in third place. And, all right, who steps up? Who challenges? Who might be a first-round opponent? You know, if you're concerned about anything in the first round, the only thing I would be concerned about in the first round for the Cavs, where it would be like, uh-oh, this could get ugly. The only thing I think is if you ended up having to play the Philadelphia 76ers, and we're so early on this.
Mm-hmm.
But the Sixers aren't even in the top 10 right now. If they can get it together, I think Joel Embiid's only played 13 games, something like that,
right?
Out of 35. If they can get it together and get in and end up being a team that the Cavs would have to deal with early on, that could be a real challenge. But they'd have to, A, get it together, and then, B, be healthy for the start of the playoffs. That could be an interesting challenge. But the Cavs, I think, are in terrific shape. They're sitting here. All they need is continued health. The style of play is locked in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep playing some defense here and there. I mean, you don't even – the thing of it is, and I've always thought this, if you can play the equivalent of one good quarter of defense in an NBA game, you're going to win if your offense is working.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be 48 minutes of incredible defense. Get, you know, trade baskets, go back and forth, make sure your offense is cooking. And if you can lock in your D for about 15 minutes throughout the game, you know, maybe 7 minutes here, 8 minutes there, you know, 7, 4, and 4, just some really good spurts where you get a little bit of an edge, you can win. And the Cavs defensively, carrying over from the foundation laid by J.B. Bickerstaff and his staff, they do that. But the offense is light years better than it was last year. Something has happened this year that, Andy, we had people come on this show, and I had arguments with them last year. And people said, nope, that can't happen. That won't work. And I forever said, of course it will. All you have to do is coach it up. And folks said, nope, nope, nope. You're going to have to change the team because of this. And those folks were wrong. We'll tell you what it was next on Baskin and Phelps.